I want to read this morning. A text which is well known in Exodus chapter 18. Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien or an immigrant in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father said he was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee and thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the work that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between the one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that you do is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both you and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to perform it yourself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give you counsel, and God shall be with you. Be you for the people to Godward, that thou may bring the causes unto God. And you shall teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, you shall provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto you, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for yourself, and they shall bear the burden with you. If you shall do this thing, and God command you so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went into his own land. That's the reading of this chapter 18 of Exodus. The advice of Jethro was not only good for Moses in his day, but probably for all of us today. So what lessons can we remember from the story of this meeting between these two men? When we look at Moses, he worked long hours. Jethro, he said in verse 17, what you do is not good. Verse 18, you'll exhaust yourself. You as the people who are with you, the task is too heavy for you. You will not be able to accomplish it alone. When Moses brought the people of God out of Egypt, it was, says the biblical text, about 600,000 men, without counting the families who were with them. That's from Exodus 12 and verse 37. And throughout the day he was in the desert with the members of his people, and he judged their many conflicts and disputes. It was evident to Jethro that Moses was tired. Jethro could see fatigue or tiredness in Moses' eyes. It seemed that the people were not happy, really happy with this arrangement either. You'll exhaust yourself like the people that are with you, said Jethro in verse 18, because the line was long of those who wanted to see their case judged by the only judge present in the people, who, he argued, the prescriptions and the law of God. Imagine those today who queued to visit the Palace of Versailles, the Louvre, were there for the tower and read signs in which it's written from there you will wait 1 hour, 1 hour, 1.5 hours, 2 hours. This is how it happens. In some things, in some administrations, people line up for hours, arrive midday, the service closes its doors, come back tomorrow, you must come back the next day several hours before the opening of the service without trying to go first because you were already there the day before, and again without the assurance of being received or having an audience. If you've experienced this or were impatient because there was three people in front of you at the post office, you can get an idea of what it must have been for an average Israelite to get an audience with Moses in the middle of the desert. Jethro monitored what was happening. He analysed the situation and realised that his son-in-law was in need of advice. Had he been content with seeing, analysing and telling Moses that he needed to change his way of doing his work? Moses should have done the same thing for himself as Jethro and search his brains to find the solution. We already know, and we'll read it again, that Jethro did not just warn Moses, but presented a solution to his problem. It happened like that. But I'm not sure any way that we could have described as bad the decision that Jethro could have taken to simply warn Moses without proposing anything different. Sometimes when we are faced with a situation where we can see that a change should take place in someone's own life and that of others, we can choose in our soul and conscience simply to warn of a danger, present or potential, and leave it there, to allow the other person to think about their situation and find a way for themselves to avoid this danger and to act for the better. It may also be true that a decision made for itself by a person in difficulty is a decision that is a result of personal reflection. It is better lived, it is better implemented than when it is proposed or imposed by the public outside. And then all problems are not identical. One may feel the right or the obligation not to intervene because of a certain extent in the lives of others, and we not feel able to go further than the simple fact of a wobbly situation for lack of experience, authority, or something else. But here is what Jethro said to his son-in-law: "Now listen to me, I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. Represent the people with God and carry your own affairs before God. Explain to them the statutes and the laws. Let them know the path they need to follow and what they need to do. You shall discern among them all the people, men of valour, fearing God, loyal men who hate dishonest gain. Appoint them chiefs of thousands, hundreds, fifties and tens." Say in other words, do not stop doing what you're doing, but taught all the people to obey everything I've commanded you and learn to share your burden with others. God did not conceive us to work on our own. The sixth day God created man, and he said in Genesis 2 verse 18, It is not good that man should be alone. I will give him help that will be his." It is a principle stated in the scripture that is corroborated by the story of the people of God. When we work for God, we must work with others. And this observation even exceeds the people who belong to God. We cannot live outside the community, but by working, collaborating within the community. Jesus himself did not accomplish his ministry alone. He had selected 12 men, his disciples, to work with him. And when he sent them to do their job, do you remember how he did it? He sent two by two. He sent two by two. When he sent the 70 or 72 on a mission, how did he do it? He sent them two by two in Matthew 9, Mark 6 and Luke 10. Why? Because we need support. Because trying to work for God alone can exhaust you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labour. For if one falls, the other raises up his companion. But what if a misfortune for one who is alone and who falls without having another to raise him up? You know this sentence, alone we go faster, together we go further. Together we can do more than we can do individually. Our churches are filled with imperfect people, but when these imperfect people let themselves be guided by the Word of God, they end up gathering together and realize that they can do much more for God. Then when Jethro sees that Moses is trying to do his work alone, he says to him, "It's not how you should do it, you need help." It was true for Moses in the desert, this is still true for us today. Responsibilities in the church cannot be otherwise than shared. You will call leaders as you want. What is important is not the title you give them, but the function that it will occupy. So, as Paul says, that the whole body, well coordinated and united, builds in love. Ephesians 4, verse 19. And in the spiritual building that is the church, we note from the first epistle to Timothy, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust it to trustworthy people who will be able in turn to teach it to others. A word that brings us back to the problems of Moses. Moses, who was constantly acting as a judge between two parties, is told by Jethro in verse 20, explain to them the prescripts and the laws, let them know the path they need to follow and what they need to do. Verse 21, you shall discern among all the people men of valor, fearing God, loyal men who hate dishonest gain, appoint them chiefs of thousands, and so on. When they judge the people at all times, that they bring before you important matters, and that they judge the secondary affairs themselves. Lighten up your load and carry it with you. If you do this and God gives you orders, you'll be able to keep good, and all these people will come to their place safe and sound. I would like to highlight two points in this discourse. First, Moses must ensure that all the people are trained in verse 20, and some are designated to serve the community, to look after the business. Second element, it must include some really that Moses could not quite take him, and they are receptive to his call. Moses was a great leader of Israel, but he had a blind spot. He was doing too much alone. Unfortunately, his blind spot did not allow him to see the people of God, prevented him from leading the people safely, because he did not lead others, teach others to do the work for God. Another issue is coming to the mind of some who did not touch mine at first. This question is this: why did not Moses share his office earlier? Was it a kind of pride? I am the leader, it is my job, one that God has personally entrusted to me. Jethro, moreover, admits to Moses a special responsibility, but still says that he needs to share the burden. Is this another kind of pride? If I want things to be done correctly, I have to do it myself. Jethro asked Moses to teach others, to let them do it, that he himself manages difficult situations, but that he trusts others and shares his load. Was Moses so busy that he did not pay attention to things and did not understand what was going on? It was then that Jethro drew his attention to his way of conducting business. Did he just think there was no one else who could do the job? Once Jethro shared his plan, Moses began looking for competent people. According to Jewish history, he would have needed more than 12,000 helpers. That's a lot of delegation. If this is church, the people to delegate to, so there was a big lot of people to find. If this is reached by a great leader like Moses, I'm sure it could happen to me or others here. So my first conclusion, which is most obvious, is this: if you see that I could better equip you, tell me. I want to do my best so that you're equipped for God. For example, suppose you went to one of these trusted people, to use this expression used here, and there too I can entrust the teachings of God, so that you yourselves are qualified to teach others. We need to talk about it. And I remember what Paul said to Timothy, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust it to trustworthy people who may well in turn to teach it to others. I believe this advice can also apply to your specific ministries for Christ. I am not the only one to ask myself questions. I hope find people you can train to do your job when you're sick, or when you need a break, or when you need time to think upon your other responsibilities in the church or outside the church, or when you need time to work well on the rest of your activities. And if at some point you get stuck in a space, and if at some point you get stuck in a specific ministry, ask yourself why. If you've done the same ministry for 50 years in the church, I exaggerated, but you've eventually blocked a number of people in a potential ministry by not leaving them room. If you jump on any activity set up in the church to participate, there is bound to be something you do not do well. And here I'm not going to exaggerate the thing. If you're engaged in more than 5 church activities, I think you need to think. 5 is arbitrary. It could be a 4 as well as maybe a 6. If you think you could do less than what you do because there's no one to take your place, you have to think about it again. A bit like Moses. And maybe your task should be suspended or stopped altogether. We do not let an activity run as well as we can under the pretext that we have always done so. And if you think the only way to do things properly is yours, you'll certainly become as pleasant as a tortoise, and no one will want to work with you or even talk to you. And if you think there's nothing to do for you, you must talk to me. That's it. God has designed us to be together. He did not intend to do his job alone. He designed the church to unite in a great job that each of its members could not accomplish by staying alone or isolated in the community. May God lead us to reflect on our commitments and our lack of commitment. There's ancient texts we can read, like the history of the people of Moses, the history of a family. We hope we're touched and understand. It's you who teaches us each day in the word that you give us from your word. Leave us and allow us to think over this preaching today for our good and for the good of the community. Thank you for teaching us this history of Moses and Jethro. Moses was clear after the revelation that he received. Thank you that you will touch us in the same way. Might be able to say to one another to help each one. We have a heart to continue the work that you've given us. We want to do our best by your grace. Help us to think on what you want us to do. Because we work for your glory. Because you're the God who's created us, who guides us today in our life. Amen. Got the announcements. Tuesday there's a prayer meeting at 6:30. Wednesday, a group in the Maison South at Romand. 14th of November there's a Bible study here, 2:00. Oh. 22nd, there's a women's meeting. Next week. There's a Sunday next week we've got the cult.
Le men's breakfast.
Men's breakfast at Sorry, I didn't hear that. Procedure that was started in 2017. So, you'll receive an email.